Greet each one this morning in the name of Jesus and welcome you to our service. Special welcome to our visitors. We're glad to have you with us. God bless you as you worship together with us. We have a pastor here from Moldova this morning, and we don't have an interpreter for him, so we couldn't ask him to preach, but I did ask them to come and share a song with us before the message. So Dima, if you could bring your group at this point and just come up front here, and we'll give you time for a song.
To sing a song. Well, obviously it's going to be in Romanian, if you don't mind. It's going to be a short song. It's talking about a appreciation from our side to God for his gift, his son, and that's the reason for all of our songs that we sing for him, because we become his sons and we receive salvation through Jesus Christ.
Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amen.
For a message this morning, I would like to begin by reading a scripture in Psalm 25. The title of the message is taken from Matthew 5, verse 5, where it says, "Blessed are the meek." Matthew 5, verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And then there's a scripture in Psalm 25, verses 8 through 13, that I'd like to read at this time. Subject this morning is about meekness. We want to think about what meekness is, and then some examples of meekness, and then we want to look at a practical part of meekness, what it means for us today, and we might look at some of the blessings of meekness as well at the end of the message. Matthew 25, verse 8 through 13, it says, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Meekness is one of the beatitudes that Jesus talked about. And when Jesus talked about meekness, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And we kind of skim over that sometimes because we're not really sure what it means to inherit the earth. But I found it interesting that here in Psalm, where it talks about meekness, it also talks about inheriting the earth in verse 13. It follows a thought from the word meekness in verse 9. It's talking about that how that the God will guide the meek in judgment and discernment, in helping them to make decisions. He will teach them his way. And it just, those next verses there talk about the clarity that God will give into our life. And then it says that his seed shall inherit the earth. So what is meekness? Sometimes we go to the paint store, and I think meekness and some of these Christian virtues are a little bit like the paint sample color charts. They kind of, you know, you start with one color and it changes slightly with every paint color, and then finally you come over here and it's a different shade. But as you go from one to the other, they're very closely, the color is very close, but the shade is different. And I think meekness is like that. If I would put meekness on a paint color chart like that, I would put it between humility and gentleness. It's very closely connected to those, but it's a little different shade, has its own shade of color, but it's almost the same thing. The dictionary gave a definition that about meekness. It said, enduring injury with patience and without resentment, mild. The next part of the definition I didn't like, it said, deficient in spirit and courage, not violent or strong. The deficient in spirit, I don't like that part of the definition, because when I look at meekness in the Bible, it's not a deficiency. It's actually it's a virtue. It's something that, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so it's certainly not a deficiency. We don't often get to prove the dictionary wrong, do we? They're usually right, but I think in this case, they're wrong. Meekness is not a deficiency. We could also think about meekness as if you look at the legs of a horse. Now, 25 years ago, when we were still Amish, we used to drive our horse and buggy to church and unhitch the horse and take him into the barn and walk behind the whole row of horses. And I was always kind of scared of horses, especially their back legs, because they can kick and there's strong muscles there. There's a lot of strength there. There's strength there that can be converted into speed. But when that horse's muscles are controlled and under control and being used for a right purpose, they're really useful, aren't they? Gets people from one place to the next, helps the horse win a race or whatever it is. Just trying to help us understand what meekness might be like. Remember, it's not a deficiency, it's actually a strength. Also remember a time when we took the children, this was when all the children were little, we took the children to a zoo, and they had an elephant show there. And there was a man that laid on the ground, and they had the elephant trained to step over him. You know, those big elephant feet stepping over a man lying down. Again, he could have squashed him, but his muscles were, the elephant was under the guidance of a trainer, and so there was no danger of harm. It was controlled strength, controlled power. Meekness, again, is very closely connected to humility. And humility is a grace that we often lack and that we all have a need of as we go through life. We have a need of humility and meekness throughout life. The opposite of meekness is being assertive or taking things on ourselves that don't belong to us, thinking that we have to be in charge and taking charge when it's not our responsibility to be in charge. That's the opposite of meekness, one of the opposites. And again, meekness is not just being run over or not having an opinion, but it's controlled strength. Eli was a man, Eli, the priest Eli in the Bible, he was a man that he was passive. That's another opposite, or not, that's not meekness. You see, he told his sons that what they're doing is wicked. He told his sons what they're doing is wrong, but the Bible says that he honored his sons above God, above God's law, and he did not restrain them. And so that's not what we're talking about this morning. Meekness is controlled strength. Meekness is related to humility and gentleness. Next, we'll go to our examples of meekness, and these examples help us understand meekness, help define meekness. When I went to school, it was important to know how to play baseball. And I was not a very good baseball player, but we had there was a friend, and he was, I think, a grade older than me in school, and he was the best baseball player. He played shortstop, and no balls went past Lee. Now, he was not the regular, his family did probably not fit into the social Amish culture like normal quite. I don't remember why, but somehow I think maybe they were looked down on a little, or I don't know, they were a little different. But he was the best example of meekness. He was the best player, but he never intimidated you by his strength. He never intimidated you by his abilities. He was always an encourager in the game, and you never had to feel bad if you messed up from him. Somehow his ability did not go for his head, and his ability did not make him feel superior to the rest of us that couldn't play so well. And that's meekness. Meekness thrives in unusual conditions sometimes. Remember, I said his family was probably not socially, culturally as normal as a lot of families, but meekness thrive there. The next example is from the Bible. And this example is usually the first one that our minds go to when we talk about meekness, because the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man on earth, or the meekest man above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Numbers 12. We're going to take time to read that account, the setting in which that phrase is given. That comment about Moses' life is in parentheses. And so there's a story here, and that comment about Moses being the meekest man is put in parentheses here. It's just like, notice that this is what was outstanding about this man. I'll begin reading verse 1, Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. And my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against Moses, against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. Moses cried unto the Lord. And that's why Moses is called the meekest man on the earth. Moses was a man of authority. His authority was challenged. Those that challenged his authority were punished by God because of it. And at that very moment, Moses could have said, that's what they deserve, that's what they get for speaking against me, let God punish them however he wants to. But that was not the path or the attitude that Moses chose. It says that Moses cried unto the Lord and interceded for them. And so there's a lesson for any of us that have any kind of authority, no matter what authority that is. When it's challenged, that we respond in meekness. And that we don't take the offense personally. They were offended, or they were bringing up this accusation against Moses that he had married an Ethiopian woman, and I don't know why. I mean, that was true. It was not an Israelite like they were supposed to marry, but that was the accusation against him. And I wonder, it causes me to wonder what happened. Because years before this, Miriam was the defender and the protector of her little baby brother, Moses. And she stayed there in the bulrushes to watch over him when their mother had put him in a basket. It was her brother, it was a relationship. And she was defending him, and here the relationship apparently has deteriorated to the point where she speaks against him in the way that we read here in chapter 12. And it's when relationships are tested, it's when relationships deteriorate, that meekness shines. Jesus is the third example of meekness. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30, Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. And what's the first characteristic that he mentions when he says, learn of me? It's meekness. He doesn't say, learn of me because I'm an eternal being and that I was with God and that I always was. And he says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There is rest that we can only learn from meekness, from being taught by looking at the example of Jesus Christ. And last Sunday in our lesson, beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we should walk with all lowliness and meekness. That's one of the first, those are the first characteristics that Paul mentions when he's telling the believers at Ephesus how to walk in meekness. It's not, he's not teaching them how to do the most important things in the church or evangelizing or going to a faraway place, but those things, however much or little they might be important, but the first thing that he mentions is lowliness and meekness. So often we put the cart before the horse. And that's why we have so many problems in our relationships. If we would learn meekness and give it priority and give it its rightful place, then the rest of those things kind of fall in place, don't they? So we know that meekness is not deficiency. We know that meekness, that Moses was the meekest man. And that's about what we do with meekness sometimes. I'd like if a couple children would come up here at this time. At least one, few of them can come and help me with something. Two or three so you're not so lonely, please. There comes one. Anybody else want to come? You won't be sorry. I won't do anything embarrassing. Any other children want to come and help Elijah? Okay, then it'll just be me and Elijah, right? What's in this jar?
Peanut butter.
And so we know that Elijah told us there's peanut butter in this jar. And that's a little how we treat meekness sometimes. We know that meekness is something that the Bible teaches. And we can read the label on here about how much saturated fat there is, how much the serving size is, how many servings per container. And that tells us what peanut butter is about, right? Sometimes that's about how we treat meekness. But I want to say this morning that unless we apply meekness, it's not going to do us much good. So what do you do with peanut butter?
You can smear it on pancakes.
Smear it on pancakes? That's a good idea. You do anything else with it? That's the only thing you do with peanut butter, put it on pancakes. What else?
I guess you can put it on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Yeah. You ever put it on crackers? Yeah, peanut butter crackers. Okay. Now all the children are going to wish that they would have come. So the only way that peanut butter is any good is if we apply it, right? And we're going to apply it to crackers this morning. That's what it's good for. Lots of peanut butter in there. Crackers with the peanut butter, not peanut butter with the crackers, right? You can have that. How many of your siblings are sitting with you and your dad? One or two, okay. Well, we'll make a peanut butter cracker for them too, since you were so kind to come up here and help me with this. Remember, meekness does not help us unless we apply it. Just in the jar, knowing all the details about it, does not help us much. Okay. You're going to need a drink after a while. Church won't last long anymore, so you may go back and enjoy your peanut butter crackers. How are we going to apply meekness? We need to apply it at home. We need to apply it at work. We need to apply it in church. One of the ways that meekness is expressed is in a soft answer. I'm going to just go into Proverbs and read a few verses. I just picked some verses out that talk about our answer. Proverbs 15, verse 1 and verse 18. Soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Again, meekness is not mentioned in these verses, but it's the result of meekness when relationship is being tested and there's an occasion or an opportunity to argue and to Push a point, a soft answer turns away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. Verse 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. These are ways that we can apply this peanut butter or this grace of meekness. Chapter 19, verse 11, just a few more verses about the way that meekness can be worked out. 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over a transgression. Chapter 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So we get the picture from these verses that it has to do with when we could stand up for our rights and what we think is important, and we're willing just to leave it down and not meddle with something that meddle with something that doesn't belong to us. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. It's an honor for a man to have a meek and quiet spirit. That's one that we often use when we're referring to teaching for the sisters in 1 Peter 3, I think it's verse 4, where it talks about how they should be clothed with meekness, which is in the sight of God of great price. No, that's not the way it says it. I have to return to that so I can say it right. 1 Peter 3, verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Yes, it's an ornament that we teach that the sisters should be graced with. But I think meekness will also grace a man's life. When we learn how to answer when we're in a situation where there's a possibility for strife, when there's a situation, there's a possibility for differences to upset things, that we learn how to respond in meekness. It's powerful. Sometimes we have to let the elephant step over us. Hopefully the elephant is well trained and will be safe. But meekness is a powerful way to respond to opposition. Meekness also needs to be applied at the workplace. And again, these scriptures are not directly specifying meekness, but Titus 3, verse 2 is a verse I'd like to read. It says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And this is referring to what, in verse 1, it's talking about those in authority, government, magistrates, principalities. And it tells us as believers that we should speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. We heard a message last Sunday or 2 weeks ago concerning voting and political things, and part of our calling as Christian is not to be brawlers about government authorities, showing all meekness unto all men. Let's let the world take care of the things that the world takes care of us. Let's exercise ourselves in meekness and graces that will make our life beautiful, that will be like an ornament in our life. What are some of the ways that meekness can be applied in church relationships? Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The opposite of this would be the spirit of the publican when he prayed there beside the sinner in Luke 18, where he said, I'm thankful, God, that I'm not like this sinner. I'm better than him. I do things right. I have my life together. I just have it together. I'm just not the poor fella he is. That's the opposite of meekness. In the church, we are brothers and sisters, we're children of God, but sometimes we have brothers and sisters that fall into sin. Sometimes we have someone that has a fault. And the scriptures tell us to approach that situation with meekness, considering ourselves, realizing what for creature I am, apart from the grace of God. It's only with the help of God that we are and can be what God has called us to be. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Again, here it's meekness is used in the same setting of those that oppose themselves. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You see, it's not about protecting my position and making sure that everyone recognizes who I am and what I am, but it's about me responding right so that God can give repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Scripture is just Christian virtues, spirit fruits just are wonderful. The outworking of that and the way it works. I believe it's important for us to have a meek attitude. Even when others don't appreciate it, that will help them come to repentance. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Again, referring back to the example of Moses and his sister Miriam, Moses would have had the opportunity to just let God do with Miriam what he wants to. He was meek. Miriam was recovered out of the snare of leprosy, out of the snare of the devil. She was taken out of that captivity of her sickness and given healing. Beautiful picture of what should take place in the church. I think I'll close with that, repeating the verse in Psalm 25, verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want to mention one thing yet, I almost forgot. This thing of inheriting the earth, I'm not sure that I understand that fully, but one day it kind of dawned on me one way that this might be possible. I have two preacher friends that died from heart attacks, and maybe at an age where I would have thought they're not finished working yet, but I've had the privilege of both of those men hearing their sons preach. And to me, that was just a picture and a revelation of inheriting the earth. It doesn't mean that life goes like we planned always. It doesn't mean many years, but in those examples, to me, it's clear that the faith is continuing on. It's been passed on, and so they're inheriting the earth. It's alive. It's continuing. Let's kneel for a word of prayer. Our Father, God in heaven, Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, we thank you for your presence here today, for what you mean to us. Thank you for redeeming us from our sins, calling us out of darkness into your light. Thank you that we have the privilege of being part of the church, being brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters. And we pray that you would help us to understand the way that you want us to walk, the way that you want us to talk and to think. We pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to bring conviction to us and help us, guide us in the right paths and the ways of truth. Thank you for each one present here today. Just ask that you would continue to bless and guide us, keep us in your care. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.